Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, February 11th, 2025. I am, as always, happy to be with you today and very happy that C.A. Brooks is joining me for our February 2025 Meeting of the Minds. We always have a great discussion. If you've never listened to the show before when she's been my guest, we do it once a month. And we just, it's just fun. We have a good discussion. We usually, as I said right before the show started, that we could talk for 3 days if given the opportunity. So it's always good. And it always has a life of its own. It always takes on a life of its own. I start it with a topic and then we go from there. And wherever that goes is absolutely perfect. So if you can, I invite you to join us in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. Please feel free to comment or ask questions in the chat. We may or may not have time for readings today. We'll see how the conversation goes. If you would like a reading, you can find both of us on 12listen.com. I'm available every day, usually mid to later morning Pacific into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me or if I happen to be busy, just schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. We have... I always talk really fast before at the beginning of this show because I want to get to my conversation with CA. But just a reminder, we have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 12listen.com. If you'd like to be notified of our specials, we call those our specials, go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. Just leave your email address. That's all it takes. Tomorrow is the full moon, and it is also 12 day, the day we celebrate every month because we are 12 listen. So on the 12th of the month, we have 12 day, and we celebrate it with random reduced rates on calls and chats all day long. So that means all of the advisors will be at different rates, and the rates change randomly throughout the day. So it's a neat energy. You know, it's a fun energy. There will also be special pricing on time-based sessions and other services as well. And for me, since Friday is Valentine's Day, I'm going to reduce the price on my Available for Love 15-minute time-based session for 12 day. So it'll be at a greatly reduced rate, and I just call that perfect timing. So the other thing that I want to mention is I'm preparing to teach a new You Empowered series of classes on 12 Academy. And these are You Empowered Intuitive Feng Shui. It's a series of 4 classes, and it will begin on March 20th, which just happens to be the first day of spring. So I'm excited about that. It just seems like that will be perfect timing, too, because what do we do in the spring? Spring is one of those seasons that is just pure change. We're watching change happen every day in spring, just like we do in fall. So with the brightness and the new life coming up, it's motivating to change things around a little bit in the house, do spring cleaning, whatever. At least that's what it does to me. It's just motivating. So I figured that would be a great time to start a series on intuitive feng shui, which I absolutely love. I've practiced intuitive feng shui, and I keep saying intuitive because it is, and that's a big part of it. I love it because it is about feeling, not just, and I don't mean just in a dismissive way, but not only the rules of feng shui, but it's being a part of it and feeling the results when you change things in your home. So anyway, I don't want to get off on a big segue here, but I got a little waylaid the first of the year because I'd planned on getting some You Empowered classes up before now. And so just not feeling well, took longer than I anticipated to offer them. But I woke up one morning last week and the words feng shui came into my head and I had my direction. So that was just a little blessing. And the You Empowered classes that I taught last fall were about energetic healing, both for it both individually for the student and for their environment. In fact, we did a house healing on our homes in the last class, which was really fun. So I love intuitive feng shui because it expands on the theme of creating an empowering environment that nurtures you and supports your success through the practice of feng shui in combination with your intuition. So the classes are fun. They are fun, and I'm excited. I went back and looked over my notes, and I got so excited to teach it again. It's been a few years, so I'm excited. And as I said, spring seems like the perfect time to do it, and I will have them up on 1-2 Academy this afternoon or tomorrow. Maybe not tomorrow because it's 1-2 day, so I'll do my best to have them up this afternoon. So thank you again for being here today. Thank you for listening to 1-2 Radio, however and whenever you do. Just a reminder that there are archives of all of the shows in the on-demand section at 1-2radio.com, all of the shows from all of the hosts. So, you know, 1-2 Radio is a great source of information, inspiration, and support. So I invite you to take advantage of that. I want to say thank you to Serena for producing the show today. And as you know, I'm always glad to have C.A. Brooks on the show with me just because it's delightful. You know, it's just delightful to have someone else to talk to on the show and not just listen to me. C.A. is a 1-2 Listen advisor, a clairvoyant astrologer, animal communicator, an avid student of A Course in Miracles, among many other things. She writes the Week Ahead section of the Power Peak, Mark Husson's weekly newsletter. She hosts Everyday Astrology here on 1-2 Radio, which immediately precedes Empowerment, live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific. And she has podcasts of her Course in Miracles show available in the on-demand section at 1-2radio.com. She's very, very busy, very busy. So I really appreciate that she takes the time to visit with me one show a month. So our meeting of the minds is where, the reason why I called it that is, it's where we can bring everything and anything to the table. Spirituality is my passion. Mysticism is my passion. Astrology, tarot, feng shui feng shui is a mutual passion, I think, with CA and I. But astrology and tarot are her bailiwick. And anything and everything else are welcome. That's why it's so much fun. So I'll have her join me in just a few minutes after I set up the starting point of our discussion. So last week sometime, I can't remember what day it was, I was doing healing and I work clairvoyantly and I see energy, but I see energy in pictures. I work with people's chakra systems and their energetic body. And so I see in pictures. And last week while I was doing this healing, I'm looking at this energy that looked like static, like on an old TV set, you know, old black and white TV set. But this was dense and metallic looking. And as I was looking at it, and all it was foreign energy. It was error, so it was easy to get rid of. But as I was looking at it, the word shrapnel came into my ear. And so afterward, that word shrapnel was still in my head and reminded me of an Emmett Fox essay by the same name. And it's in a book called Find and Use Your Inner Power. And this book is the whole book is a collection of short essays that he wrote weekly. And they're very interesting and they're very good. And, you know, at the beginning of the book, it says that he, his mission, so to speak, was to present new thought, metaphysics, whatever you want to call it, in such simple terms that a 10-year-old could understand it. So a lot of the essays are really funny. I think he had a really brilliant wit. But so I went back to read the essay called Shrapnel. I knew what it was about, but I want to share a bit with you because it's one of those instances, you know, when like all roads lead to Rome, when you have a theme going or something that's just on your consciousness, in your head, something that you're meditating about, something that you're working out for yourself, it's amazing how things just come from everywhere that basically support that or support you in whatever you're working with. So here's a little bit from this essay. He said, "It usually happens, however, that when we're on the spiritual path, difficulties present themselves from time to time. But as long as they're met with truth in the right way, they soon fade out into nothingness, leaving us with a definite spiritual uplift. Sometimes these difficulties are caused by mistakes we're making at the present time, and such mistakes must be recognized and corrected. But more often, they're old, negative things working their way out of the subconscious, much as shrapnel works its way out of a living body. The subconscious mind has many fears, doubts, and frustrations buried in its depths, and the sooner they come to the surface, the sooner we shall attain our goal. Meet the problems, worries, and annoyances of daily life in the knowledge that they furnish an opportunity to clear up the subconscious mind very rapidly, and you'll find how little power they have to impede you." Well, after I read that, I had to smile because it describes exactly the running theme of my shows and articles lately, you know, which has been the influences that our early influences, our early influences that become our filters for everything that comes into our experience. The things that, you know, these well, between my voice and that I can't talk here, hang on. Sorry. The things that automatically come out of the depths of our subconscious when something new comes into our experience or when we're dealing with something and like you said, a problem or an everyday annoyance comes up, automatically here comes, boom, something from the past. Oh, remember the last time it was this, from our associative mind or our ego or these influences, as Joel Goldsmith called them. And the way Joel described them was our concepts of the material world come from prenatal influences, early environment, education, and later personal experiences. And these influences make up who we are as humans, and they compel us to see things as we do. So after reading that article, I read through the book again, and it's easy because it's just a series of small articles, but I hadn't read it in a very long time and found, you know, many, many other jewels of wisdom. And I want to share one more, again, that will fuel our conversation, I'm sure. And I know that we've talked about this before in different ways, CA and I, but it's called True Place and Right Place is the name of the article. And it says, there's a vital difference between your true place and your right place, which everyone should understand. Your true place is that place where God intends you to be. In that place, you'll have great happiness, good health, real prosperity, and you'll be living an active and interesting life. That place is waiting for you somewhere. And the wonderful thing about it is that no one but yourself can fill it. Positively, no one else on earth but yourself can fill your true place adequately. Your right place in life is the place you are actually in at the moment, whether it's pleasing to you or not. You're always in your right place because you're always in the place that corresponds to your mentality at the moment. But this may not be your true place. If your conditions are unwelcome, it means that there's something in your mentality that needs to be changed. Change it, and then the other conditions, the outer conditions, will change too. So, CA, I know you appreciate Emmett Fox, so I thought these articles would be a good way to get our conversation started today. So welcome. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, thank you. I always enjoy these conversations. And yeah, I love Emmett Fox. But I must admit, when you said he wrote something on shrapnel, I mean, I'm like, okay, I'm anxious. I'm eager to see where this is going. That seemed like quite the juxtaposition of ideas, you know. yeah. But Good. Anyway, so yeah, very, very interesting. And just that idea, I mean, I was kind of going down a rabbit hole here with just, you know, yeah, those things that exist within us, those beliefs, those ideas, and that, you know, if they're not rooted out, if they're not exposed, if we don't look at them, then they just continue to grow their way. Like those, I want to say horrible, but you know, in Colorado, those, what are those weeds that like, they go down like 10 feet or something. And they often come, well, and they come, well, I can't, and now I can't think of what it is, but it comes up in the grass. It comes up in the gardens. It just comes up everywhere. And you'll always think that you can just clip it off at the surface and, you know, get rid of it. But you can't, because it has a taproot that literally goes down yards and yards and yards. It's not even in feet. It's like, it's some phenomenon. It might even be 30 feet that it can go down. I mean, talk about persevering and, you know, but here again, kind of coming back to that idea that, you know, like, for instance, you know, for decades, but especially years ago, this whole idea of using affirmations, you know, I am in the right place. I'm in my true place or whatever it is, using affirmations. And I was certainly a person who used them, and I'm not saying they're bad, but I think a lot of people were just confused about, well, I say this affirmation over and over and over and then nothing happens, or I'm not changing my mind. Well, to me, it goes back to that kind of weed. It has a taproot that goes all the way down. You can't, in a garden, and I mean, I think that is one of the best analogies, is you can't just put your seeds, you know, go out one morning and put your seeds all over the ground and say, okay, I'm going to grow daisies or sunflowers or whatever, and then you're shocked when the weeds come up. Well, if you never get the weeds out in the first place, if you don't prepare the garden spot, you're going to grow whatever is there. And no matter how many seeds or affirmations you throw on top of it, they're growing together. And so it's not so much that affirmations don't work, but they just don't necessarily change your mind. And that's the really clear thing, is changing your mind, understanding something that you have believed or something, you know, a hurt, a resentment that comes up. And I know for one, I used to just, I mean, and I'm not saying I don't do it now, but so often I just push it down, just push it down. I'm not going there. And now what I find oftentimes is, you know, the slightest little thing will just trigger a memory. And so, and of course, a lot of times they're good memories, but a lot of times they're not. And, you know, I'm trying to make a practice of, instead of going, okay, I'm not going there. Just saying, okay, I'm just going to feel this. I'm just going to feel what that felt like, you know, at 10 years old, not to get invited to the party or whatever it was.
Right.
This is a good week to talk about this because of Valentine's Day.
True.
You know, Valentine's Day is on Friday. And personally, I've almost always really liked Valentine's Day because I just kind of took charge and said, what do I want to do? And, you know, a lot of times went out with girlfriends or whatever. I mean, I just decided I'm not going to be that person going, oh, I don't have a Valentine. I'm going to be my Valentine, or I'm going to, I mean, you know, it's kind of funny. Certain holidays, I just take charge of them, and people, they'll go, why is this so important? I go, well, maybe because I don't have a lot of them. I mean, I'm not married, so I don't have an anniversary. You know, I don't have kids, so I don't have all those birthdays to celebrate or graduations or milestones. So it's sort of like, you know, I'm going to grab onto the holidays or the special events that, you know, that I want to, and make them a big deal, you know? So in any case, just, you know, thinking about that whole idea of now, often sometimes when those come up, and I certainly go, wow, where did that come from? You know, and oftentimes I will admit it comes from a sleeping dream. You know, something happens in a sleeping dream and I go, man, I haven't thought about that event or that person in 10 years or 20 years or whatever it is. But I wake up automatically feeling that almost shortness of breath and feeling, you know, whatever I felt, scared or disappointed or upset or whatever it was. And I go, why do I have to relive this? But now I'm just more like, okay, just breathe. I don't have to understand it intellectually, why it even came, but maybe I can just say, yeah, that's still there. That's still growing in my subconscious. And in this moment, I can just say, okay, that's what it is. And I don't want to feel this way anymore. I don't want that weed somewhere in my subconscious just triggering other events. Or, and you know, sometimes that's what's happened too, is something has triggered it. We just didn't know it. Or I didn't know it. You know,
exactly.
It's like, oh my God, that's why that happened. Because somebody happened to say that word, or somebody happened to duplicate that somewhere. But every time that you identify one of those weeds, or every time you identify one of those thoughts, you've got right in that moment the opportunity to, in a sense, you know, take care of your inner child. Just, yeah. You know, to uproot the weed, or to just go, yeah, kids are mean, or people get scared and they do things. You don't have to take it personally. It doesn't have to be an attack, you know, And so, yeah, you know, just the shrapnel kind of coming out, and, you know, none of us like it, I will admit, really. I mean, sometimes I go, really? You know, do I have to go through this again? But like I said, for me, I know a lot of times it's sleeping dreams. And I'm one of those people, I wake up every morning and I can tell you at least for 5 or 10 minutes exactly what happened in the dream. Now, after that, they're gone. I mean, if I don't spend any time with them, they're gone. But I always know what I was dreaming.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
Do you not?
Well, it depends. I do. Sometimes I really, really remember them and they're very vivid. And I know I dream all the time, and I do a lot of, like, I'll wake up early in the morning, like at 4, and then try and get back to sleep and have that, like, that lucid dreaming, you know, where you're half asleep, half awake. Those I remember. But, you know, when you were saying, when these feelings come up, or these old memories, or something that's back there in, you know, been hidden for years and years and years, it really is, I think, the opportunity to look at it. Because I think if we look at it in the eye, it takes its power away.
It does.
You know, I mean, because it's powerless anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a fear. It's an old fear, or an old doubt, or whatever the heck it is that doesn't belong to us to begin with. And so to just look at that and go, wow.
Yeah, it's like turning on the light.
I thought you run roughshod over me all these years.
Yeah, and you turn on the light and you realize the monster in the room was nothing more than the jeans that you put on the chair, you know?
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's exactly what it is. But I'll tell you, if you ask Tucker, I cannot tell you how many mornings I wake up and I look at him and I go, what was that about? Because it's what I was dreaming. And I'm like, where did that come from? And if you ask him, he'd probably go, yeah, she says that to me every day. What was that about? Where did that come from? And of course, if he really understood, he'd go, what is she talking about? And I almost always say to him, did you have sweet dreams? You know? But I'm just like, so in any case, yeah, these things are always there. And the best thing we can say or do is not just throw more attitudes or affirmations or thoughts towards them, but just go, yeah, you know, just breathe through it. And yeah, let's, you know, let's just be with this and just be okay with this, or, you know, or forgive it.
Or just have the feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. Just have the feeling.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I think one of the most important things, one of the most powerful things to me is just go, but you know, I don't want to feel this anymore. And knowing that it was a choice, because here again, this is going to go a little metaphysical, you know, whatever you want to call it, spiritual. But when you dream at night, you know that you're making that all up. You are literally writing every single person's line, their scripts, what you're seeing, what you're doing. The whole thing is you, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know anybody who honestly believes somebody else is interfering. Just like if I had a dream about you and you invited me to a party or something, I wouldn't wake up and go, okay, what time is the party? I mean, you know, it's like Kelly'd be going, what? What is she talking about? And so I may be kind of upset. I mean, and I have done that too before, where something happened in a dream. And then I had a really hard time kind of getting through it with that person.
Oh,
even though they didn't do it. I mean, they didn't do it. They didn't say it. But, you know, maybe somewhere in my unconscious, I thought, but is that what they're thinking? Or would they do that? I don't know. But in any case, we all know we're making it all up. You know, let's just get there, you know, whether it's psychologically, emotionally, or intellectually. Then, but if you extrapolate from that and realize, but then how much of the world are we making up?
All of it.
Yes, exactly. But see, we don't believe that. See,
right.
we it's like, no, this is real. But in your dream, don't you almost always go, this is real? I mean, there are times when I go, okay, I've seen this one before. I mean, there are times, and I'm sure that's lucid dreaming, where I go, okay, I've seen this one before. I know how this comes out. But most of the time, we're just going along in the dream, and we're not questioning the credibility of it. No. And yet in life, it's like, why don't we start questioning that? We're making it all up.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the whole thing about, you know, the thing that got me going on the influences or the associative mind or ego or whatever you want to call it. It's the same thing. It's our filters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was listening to The Best Tapes by Joel Goldsmith, and I've written about it in The Power Peak, and I've talked about it on my past few shows, but I can't, like, leave it alone. You know, it's still something that's becoming more and more and more in my, and more clear to me. It's like those early childhood influences, your education, your experiences. That's it. Everything comes through that. So our judgments, our opinions, none of which are true. They're just what we believed based on what we were fed when we were young by the people who had been fed the same thing, you know, and so that's how it is. Mm-hmm. And to start looking at things, start shifting that dynamic, you know, from, okay, this is how I react to this when this happens, rather than, you know, something comes up. Well, here's a great example. Last night, I was on a call, a 1-2-listen call, and my phone was ringing, and it happened to be my neighbor. So I called her back after, and she said, I just wanted to call you. She said, our water smells like tar.
Ooh.
I went, what? And she said, our water, Jay, her husband, she said, went downstairs to take a shower. And she said, I was doing something, and I was running water, and it smells like tar. Is yours okay? So I go in there, and mine's fine. And so anyway, long story short, she was in touch with me over 2-3 times over the course of the evening, and they called Denver Water, the emergency line, and something happened. They'd been doing construction on Monaco for months.
Yeah.
And something happened with one of the water lines, and something they sealed it with or something.
Ah.
And so anyway, I'm listening to her, and you know, I think, you know, that's one of those things that, because she was worried, you know, she was afraid. She said, don't, you know, if it's, please, can you, if it shows up at all, here's the number. She goes, I feel there's strength in numbers. They had someone came out, and then they called them back or came back out again and said that they'd, you know, they had figured out the source. So anyway, I felt bad for her, but I took a shower today. My water's fine. Everything. Not a problem here. And I think in the past, I could have reacted to that to the point where my water would have smelled like tar. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was kind of an interesting opportunity to look at that. But I just think just anything, and I talked about this last week, I got a juror summons for Thursday. And see, I went through a time in my life, I think I was in my mid-30s or something, where I got a jury summons every year. I mean, it just all the time. And I've actually served on 3 or 4 juries. I'm not sure how many. And so, you know, at the beginning of the year, my mom gets one, you know, after she passed away and her mail was coming to my house.
Right.
And then a couple of months later, I got mine. And I actually postponed it. It was in September to the 13th of February. And so here it comes. And I've just let that thing sit on my bar top. And I walk by it every day. And I just basically have no feeling about it at all. You know, whatever happens, happens. I call tomorrow night after 5 o'clock to see if my number's listed. If it is or if it's not, I'm going in there grounded and in my neutrality. That's how I'm going to operate. And so that way I can, you know, shift from, oh man, the last time it was like 3 days, a whole trial. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I can have a new experience. I can have an experience of what it actually is. So that was, it was kind of, it's been kind of an interesting experiment, for lack of a better word, you know, to just look at things differently, things that would, like, you know, spin me off into nowhere or somewhere, and just go, okay, all right, well, I just leave it to however it happens, and mm-hmm. I'll live. I will live. And who knows? But it's just, it's an interesting thing. We don't, when we're aware of them, we can call them out, so to speak.
Yes.
You know, when that fear, that judgment comes up, it's like, come on, that's not real. That's not true. That's just what happened. And it's not now. You know, that's dead, gone, and over. So mm-hmm. it's just kind of an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah, and you know, where I was going to, that is so important to me, is that I don't have to have the answer. Like, just Mm-mm. saying, I don't like feeling this way. I don't
Right.
want to. Like, in fact, I'll tell you, like, one of my triggers, I just cannot believe how expensive cable is, right?
Oh, right.
And I feel like I've got this every year. I have to renegotiate with the cable company, you know? And, you know, finally, I mean, I truly did. I just got rid of a bunch of their services and only went with the one that was just the most important, the internet. And I just said, no, I'm not paying $300 a month so I can watch a few TV shows, you know? I finally just kind of put my foot down with that. But they're always like, oh, add this. And in fact, now it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, you've been on that plan for a year. We're changing it. They took it up $35. And unless I add more services, they're going to take it up even more. And I'm like, okay, so if I add something, they won't add the extra $15 to it. And I'm just like, really, are we going to dance? And I could already feel my chest just, you know,
tightening up.
Mm-hmm. But then I automatically just said, you know what? I don't like feeling this. I don't like having to feel, you know, this is just what these people do. It's just, it like you said, it's just what they do. Mm-hmm. I don't have to decide if it's right or wrong. It's just what they do. So, and
take
I really
it or
thought
leave it.
About, yeah, mm-hmm. and I just kind of thought about it. And I thought, you know what? I did call them last night. But of course, they're not open. They're not open. They are only there during business hours, you know. Which so many, I mean, but most services like that really are 24/7, they've got somebody there 24/7.
Yeah.
But, and then, so I went through this whole maze and it says, okay, well, click this link and we'll get you somebody. Well, the somebody they're getting you is just a chat. And I'm like, no, I don't want to chat with a robot, you know?
Right, right.
So right. In any case, I hung up and I thought, I'm just going to call them tomorrow. But I also, after I hung up, I thought, really, are you, you know, how much upset are you going to get this?
Yeah.
Just give them the $35, make sure they don't up it anymore, and continue to look for alternatives.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that is what's going on. They've got so much competition anymore. But when I checked it out last year, there wasn't anybody that I would say giving me the equivalent thing for the price, because especially with radio, I don't want to have a sketchy internet connection.
Oh, no.
You know,
right.
I've got to have a good internet connection. And so I just said, really? And is $35 a month worth this kind of upset? And there was a part of me that's like, yeah, it is. But I go, but you know what? You probably can't do anything about it. So call them up, see what you can do. But then, you know what? Pay the $35 a month. And this is, and so we're there again, what I'm going towards is I'm creating the upset.
Right.
I'm totally creating it. Okay, they up their price. So what? In a sense, that is totally neutral. They up their price. That's it. I don't have to judge that as I'm a victim and they're taking advantage and blah, blah, blah. I don't have to do that.
Right.
You know, I created this. I totally created this. Mm-hmm. And I create my response to it as well. And mm-hmm. so the minute I say to myself, well, I'm not sure exactly how to fix this, but what I do know is I don't want to feel this way. That's what right. I know, is I don't want to feel this way. And so to me, that's partially the equivalent of then asking the internal voice, whatever you call it, you know, whether you consider it a connection to God, connection to self, connection to something. It's like, okay, I need some alternatives here because this one isn't working. I don't like feeling this way. I don't like feeling this way. And I don't have to necessarily have the answer. You know, I don't have to step 1, 2, 3, 4, and it's all going to be okay. It's more just like, nope, I just need to know this isn't what it doesn't feel good, and I don't want to feel this way. Mm-hmm. And I've got control of that.
Right.
You know, I truly
and you can just control. Give it away. Well, it's just like mm-hmm. I'm sitting here looking at that, the last paragraph that I read of right place. You know, you're always in your right place because you're always in the place that corresponds to your mentality in the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, it may not be your true place if your conditions are unwelcome. It means there's something that in your mentality that needs to be changed. Change it. The outer conditions will change too. That's yeah. exactly right. In every moment, no matter what it is, no matter how we automatically respond to it or what automatically flies through your system, you know, that fear or anger or whatever it is that just triggers is a good word.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's like, what the heck are you? And why am I entertaining you? You know, really. And actually, I don't really need to know what you are. Why am I entertaining you? This is my opportunity to stop.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm going to go somewhere, too, and hope I'm not being too conflictual or something or being contrary. But, you know, thinking about the true place, right place, because one of the and I'm getting this from A Course in Miracles. But there again, A Course in Miracles is reflective of not every spiritual system that's ever existed, for sure. But it's not, I mean, it just came. It was a voice for a certain generation. Let's put it that way. But one of the things that it continues to assert is, like, for instance, I say, I don't like this. I don't like feeling this way. But that doesn't, you know, in some ways, like even thinking about praying to God, okay, God, I don't want to pay $35 extra on my bill. So this is what I want fixed. Well, you know what? That's not what needs to be fixed.
No.
What needs to be, well, what I'm saying is, okay, let's say in other words, where I'm going with this is sometimes the external doesn't change. So we don't, as long as we have to be happy only on basically getting the answers that we want, I want the bill to go down, right? Well, mm-hmm. If I say to the universal intelligence or to myself or whatever, the only way I'm going to be happy is if the bill goes down, then I'm really just painting myself into a box. Because
Absolutely.
What I said is, I don't like this. I don't feel good about this. So the truth is, I can go back and figure out, or not figure out, I can go back and I can have some peace of mind whether they drop the bill or not.
Exactly.
And that is a tricky thing because, I mean, and I'm not there, Kelly. I'm telling you,
I want to go,
this is exactly the way I want this to pan out. And if it doesn't pan out, then I'm going to be unhappy. And it's like, you know what? What if you could just be happy no matter what happened?
Yeah.
And see, that is that my real goal? And I guess in many ways, I want that to be the goal. I want peace of mind.
Right.
I don't want to be triggered by a bunch of stuff. But as long as I am putting that the outcome is the important thing, then it's like, yeah, there's going to be a lot of outcomes I don't like. So every opportunity I have, whether it's with a cable company or, you know, a member of a family or a stranger or whatever, that I can say, you know what, the real goal here is I want to feel peace of mind.
Yeah.
I want to feel okay in my skin. I want to feel good about my life.
Yeah.
Not, okay, well, that means I need a new car and I need the cable company to drop the bill and I need this person to admit they were wrong. You know what? No. Those, you're spinning your wheels a lot of times. Now, that being said, of course we have goals. Of course we set out things and go, oh, it's going to be so much fun if I get that reservation for dinner on Valentine's Day or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to really not tie my peace of mind, my happiness, my satisfaction to a goal that I have put out there. Because you know what? I think in very limited terms.
Right.
I mean, most of the time, there's something so much better I didn't even know about or I hadn't even thought about. Right. So it's sort of like, can I just go, you know what? No matter what happens when I call the cable company, I'm going to feel okay about it. I'm going to have peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
That's what's going to happen. And I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to let the material world or outcomes be the reason that I'm strung out.
Exactly. Well, and that's the whole thing. I mean, you can't, it's not like the Buddha, it's not life. Life has changed, therefore we suffer. But it's not life that causes suffering.
No.
It's our demand on it to be different than it is that causes us to suffer.
Yes.
It's all perception.
It has to be different than it is. Yes.
Yeah. And that's never going to happen. So
you need
suffer.
Yeah. This needs to change. Well, and like I said, something I was listening to in A Course in Miracles the other day, and I'm sure I've heard it many, many, many times, but somehow it just came into my brain differently. And that is that idea. And I mean, it's not the first time I've ever heard the idea, but just the idea of like, okay, when you say, I want this to be happy, you're basically saying how the universe, how God, how whatever has to meet your demands. Mm-hmm. That this is what it looks like. You're deciding the answer. You're saying that, you know, this whole idea, I pray for this. This is the answer that's going to make me happy. And it's like when you see it somehow in black and white and you hear somebody say that, you go, well, that seems pretty childish.
Exactly.
You know, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I decide ahead of time what I think is the perfect outcome and then say, give me that. Mm-hmm. Instead of just saying, I want peace of mind, and I'll attract exactly the outcomes that I will be able to work with.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, it is. And it's just all bringing it back to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is my responsibility. My happiness, my experience of anything is my responsibility. No one else's.
Mm-hmm.
No one else's. So, you know, and the more you blame or you know, become victim to something, somebody's doing something to me, the more power you give them and the more you disempower yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, yeah, I mean, like Stuart Weil would say, whatever's sitting in your lap, you brought there.
Yep.
You've made a comfy home for it, and you're the only one that's going to get rid of it, but it's up to you to change you to do
he
it.
He was so good, wasn't he?
Oh, he was.
You know. Oh,
he was.
Such great stuff.
Yeah.
Yep, you brought it. You brought it with you. It's your baggage.
Yeah. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing, but I just, I love that. And to just think about, to kind of take a step back and look at how, you know, the judgment that comes up or the opinions and it's just automatic, you know? So it really does take a minute to go, wait a minute. And to actually observe that, but it just shifts the dynamic from being at the mercy of to, okay, what do I have to offer? You know, what do I bring to this?
Mm-hmm.
And peace of mind is the whole thing. Because that peace is power. It's just power. Mm-hmm. But it's grace. You know, that's really grace.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so underrated, peace of mind.
It is, because we like a good fight.
Well, and you know, even things like, you know, I talk about Tucker a lot because he's my best friend right now, you know, my little dog. But he is very, very headstrong.
Uh-huh.
And even sometimes when we're walking, he's just jerking. He's got to have it his way. And I find myself just all of a sudden angry. You know, there again, it's almost like getting provoked. And it's like all he's trying to do is chase a rabbit, you know, or go after a smell or something. This is not personal. But I recognize that it actually feels personal to me. Hey, did you realize how hard you pulled me? Do you realize what that did to my wrist? Do you realize what happened here? You know, and it's like, fortunately, I just kind of catch myself and go, oh my gosh. You know, I'm just taking this so personally, just him being him and wanting to do what he needs to do. He could care less. He's not thinking, right. I wonder if this is going to hurt her if I like take off full force, you know? Right. Needless, I should be working with him more on obedience, but I'll tell you what, this is not like a dog who understands that concept. Obedience. Right. I mean, he is a charmer for sure. I mean, he's just like a little lover. But boy, he's got a lot of Aries planets. Uh-huh. And uh-huh. I see something, I'm going after it. It's just so instinctual. And, you know, but I mean, meanwhile, he's dragging me off my feet.
Yeah.
You know, or tying me up or something because he's going around the other way. And it's like, but it's like, CA, this is not personal.
I know.
This is not personal. You know, this doesn't have to be. Yes, he's not thinking of my needs. It's like, where are you going with that? Of course he's not thinking of your needs. He's thinking of his own, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's what he's supposed to be doing.
He's a dog. Yes. I have to remind myself that Grace is a dog because I do the same thing, CA. I do the same thing. And she's a love sponge and everybody loves Grace, but she is a stubborn little turd when she wants to be. I mean, stubborn. And she will look at me like, you know, no hablo inglés. I don't know what you're saying. But it's just, it's funny. And it does rile you up. I mean, it does. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, this isn't the first time we've done this. You know, this isn't the first time. So what's the deal? But I know exactly what you're saying. And then I go, I'm sorry.
That's me. I mean, that is me exactly. Because he, you know, when you say that, you know, doesn't understand, I don't know what you're saying. That's what he does when he's into something. He does not come. When I call him, he doesn't come.
No.
He just, you know, I mean, it's sort of like, I mean, a lot of times I'm in some room and I go, where are you, Tucker? He doesn't come. You know, he just waits for me to come find him. You know? And so every once in a while, I've been a little bit more about carrying a few little treats in my pocket.
Oh.
Because then occasionally he will. Like if I whistle and he comes, I give him a treat. So it's sort of like, you know what? I'm saying that there's a reason I'm doing this. You know? And, but I get it. He's just like, that's just not in his vocabulary. You know, obeying me.
Right.
You know, I mean, he wants to be with me and he loves all this. But I mean, if you would see him sometimes, it's like, hey, come here, you know, let's go. And he goes, he wants me to come to him with the leash.
Yes.
You know, that kind of thing. And I'm
exactly.
Like, really?
And he'll sit 3 feet in front of you and not come forward.
So it's sort of like, but once again, just going, you know what, CA, this is not personal. This is not a reason to be upset. But of course, and the other thing is, sometimes if something happens, like he starts he's on a leash, but he starts darting, and there's a car or something like that, it's scary. And I realized that's what happened too, is I got afraid for a second. Yep. And so then I'm mad at him. And then I go, no, you're just afraid. That's a normal, typical reaction. You were afraid.
Right.
You know, which you should have been, but you don't have to get all over him. He was just doing his thing.
Right, right.
And if only it would be more, a better thing. You know?
Yeah.
But, oh my gosh. But yeah, you know, just all these things. But once again, every single time we can just say, what's your real goal here? My goal is peace of mind. Yeah. And I don't have to know all the answers or know the perfect manifestation of this. Oh. And you know, who knows, like with your jury duty, you know, how often does something happen and it just ends up that it's perfect? You see somebody that you haven't seen forever, or you know, something happens that you go, oh my gosh, if I hadn't done jury duty, that would have never happened. So you know what? Maybe we should spend less time defining what goals are and just working towards peace of mind and being in the moment. Right?
Well, and deciding to be like in that place, you know, it's gonna be full of people that don't want to be there, right? Mm-hmm. It's like DMV. Nobody wants to be at DMV. So I go in grounded, you know, grounded and just be a grounded, graceful presence. That's the healing.
Yeah.
You know, I go in as the observer, the neutral observer, and just see what happens. And then that's my victory.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. I was able to just be there and see what happened and observe.
Yeah. You want to call the cable company for me?
No, yes, I've done my time on behalf of the cable company.
Oh, I know. But there again, I almost have to laugh because I think how many conversations have I had with a cable company over a 20-year period?
Yep.
You know, and sometimes they end up the way I want. Sometimes they don't. But they're every year going to change something. That's just what they do. That's their nature.
Yeah. I know. In fact, I think I called them. Well, I did, as a matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago and said, why is my bill this high? And the guy goes, oh, well, you know, I said, do you have any specials? And I was doing it over chat, but I had a real guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you have any, can you lower my bill? And he actually did. You know, yeah. It wasn't like, it was like $15 or something, but it lowered. So, yeah. You know, and I felt good going, can you lower my bill? Wasn't mad, but it's like, why is it this high? It just shouldn't be this high for internet because I don't have anything else through them.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and they have done that for me too. I mean, because I'll just call them up and I'll say, you know, this bill is too high and there's other providers out there. So what can you do for me? And most of the time, that's what's annoying though, is knowing that they really can change it. So why do we play this game? Why don't you just give me the best rate to start with? But they don't, you know.
No, because they like
to. That's the game. That's the game.
It is the game. Well, CA, we're in the last minute. So
we are. Thank you so much.
It's been a great conversation. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you. Hey, what do you have going on? You going to be around tomorrow?
I am starting around 1:00. Pacific time, because I am committed in the morning, but I will be there for 12 day and looking forward to that full moon and, you know, and available then on Thursday and Friday as well. I'm available most days, but I often work by appointment. But yeah, if you know, yes, people, give me a call. Let me know that you're trying to get a hold of me and I'll do what I can.
Perfect. Perfect.
And happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there.
Oh, yeah. Happy Valentine's Day. That's funny. I don't really think of it now either. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing. Yep. Happy Valentine's Day. And I will be available tomorrow probably about around 10:30 or so Pacific time into the evening. So I've got a couple things to do in the morning, but look forward to it. 1-2 day is a fun day. So I would love to work with you if you want to stop by and give me a call. I'm Kelly Whetstone. You've been listening to Empowerment. My special guest today was C.A. Brooks. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. Have a very, very blessed week, everyone. And please stay tuned for Katie Weaver, followed by Christina LaFrance. Bye-bye.